Let us read a psalm together before we pray, and then Brother Schmidt will speak to us and Brother Frank. Let us open Psalm 116. It says, I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord, now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Let us stand and pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this hour of grace, and also for this day that you have given us to live. We thank you, Lord, that you have also helped us. You are with us all the days of our lives. Lord, we thank you, and we proclaim with this psalmist, I love the Lord, because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Lord, you have helped us, even sometimes when we have not called. O Lord, to your name be the honor, to you be the praise, to you be the worship, to you be the glory, O Lord, even in this evening, our Lord. And may you anoint us all anew, strengthen us anew, and equip us with a power from on high. We need you more and more. We need your presence. Lord, even if we have sunk at times, you have not let us drown, Lord, but you have lifted us up again and placed us on a firm foundation of faith. We worship you in this evening hour, and I pray, Lord, that you will continue to be with us and bless us from the riches of your grace. Praise be to your wonderful and glorious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks be to our Lord for his grace, which we may experience again and again every day, and thus can look up to him together and exalt his name. Well, we have already heard a wonderful word, and the chorus that we have sung, what does it matter if people say that we are so poor and much more? But we must not forget what people say. People say it, and we know that the Lord has prepared something precious for us, a wealth that we or people here on earth do not see, but we, you and I, who have recognized God, or rather God has recognized us and called us and drawn us to Himself, we know what riches we have with Him, and we are so grateful for that. That is probably why the psalmist exclaims and says here in Psalm 23, I will read a few more verses from this psalm. Here it's written in Psalm 24, from verse 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in His holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Here the psalmist expresses it and asks, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? He asks the question, perhaps for us too, perhaps for you, for me, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in His holy place? And then he says, he that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And then this precious verse, it says here, this is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob. Do we belong to this generation who desire Him, who seek His face? May God work in us to desire deep in our hearts all that He has prepared for us. Now I would perhaps like to read another word that is very familiar to us. We know it and say it again and again, that the Holy Scriptures, after all we come here and hear the Holy Scriptures again and again, what God has spoken and promised. And we will not stop hearing it and will hold on to it until that moment when He will appear and take us home. In Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to read a passage from verse 8, very familiar to us. Hebrews 11 from verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength, to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. Up to here, this precious word. We who live in this time, in the last hours, minutes, perhaps even seconds that we have left, we look out, as we have already sung, what does it matter if people say, and here we find one who did not mind when the call went out to Abraham. He obeyed it and he didn't even know where to go. You and I, we have gained knowledge through the word that has been left to us. He has given it to us, and we know what we are leaving everything for and where we are going. Abraham received the promise that he should go forth, for the Lord had prepared a land for him, and he settled there without having a permanent place. He lived in tents, as we have heard here, and we know that he looked out. Even in his day, he looked out to the city whose foundations are firm, which the Lord built. How much more should we look out for it in the time in which we live? For he is near to take us there. May God grant us grace that we, like an Abraham, like an Isaac, like a Jacob, who were all these co-heirs, may we become heirs of what he has promised for us, and that to the praise and glory of his name. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord, that we may hear faith-strengthening words that go to our hearts, that we rejoice in. And my thoughts are when a word of God is read, what the Lord has to say to you and me through it. What does He have to say to us when we read a story about Abraham? What does He have to say to us when we read about Isaac and Jacob? They were heirs of the same promise. We are not here to talk about what happened to them back then, but to understand what the deeds of God that happened to them mean for us, what we can learn from them, what God wants to tell us through them. Let's take a look at Abraham. Could God not have given him a son when he was strong and young? Could God not have made a promise and easily, simply fulfilled it? God leaves a desire unfulfilled in his heart, year in, year out. And one day he says, Lord, you know that Eliezer of Damascus will inherit everything I own, and you let me go along as a childless man. He trusted God throughout his life, and at the end he says, Lord, you know this man will inherit me. And then God appeared to him and gave him the promise. This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And you all know, Abraham was 75 years old when the promise came. And then he had to wait another 25 years. And within those 25 years, someone became impatient and Ishmael was born. And it is said that he was a wild man. He was against everyone, and everyone was against him, and no one could tame him. And Paul takes this story as an opportunity in Galatians and interprets it in relation to the New Testament church and the people of Israel. So we see that everywhere was the plan of salvation. Where there was nothing more to hope for, he who had received the promise held on full of hope. Where there was nothing left to believe in, the anchor of faith was so deeply anchored that nothing and no one could overturn it. That is faith. To go your whole life without seeing anything. Then the promise. And then waiting and waiting and waiting. Everyone else was already cheering and shouting. Children were born in the neighborhood and everywhere. And I can imagine, every time Abraham and Sarah heard, have you heard, they have a son there, and so on. What must it have been like for them? And then in their hearts, O God, when will it be? But they held on to what God had promised. I think the same is true for us in this time. So much is happening, and it may seem like nothing is happening where God has made promises. And that's a good thing. Where God has made promises, people rest in God and in what He has said, and they do nothing of their own, but wait in faith until God is pleased to confirm His word. And even if we read the history of the origin of the people of Israel at this time, if we go back to the year 1893, when the first Congress was held in the city of Basel, one single man made a statement and said, "From now on, we must not only speak of the tribes, but in the near future, we will once again speak of the people of Israel." What was going on in the man's heart back then, he can no longer see today. If he were alive today, he would say, "What I saw with my spiritual eye back then has become reality today." Today, no one speaks only of the tribes of Israel, but of a state, of a people that has come together. Their hour has come. And it was the same with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob in those days. And it's the same with us today. I don't think any of us would want to swap places with all of them. It will only be revealed in the end. At the moment, some may still be enthusiastic, and you know how I feel, for example. When I get a call and people say to me, "Here's a brother who preached to us, and the new name of God has been revealed to him, but he is not allowed to say it. If he says it, he will still feel sick 2 days later." I hear it on the phone, and I hear it for the second and third time. What can you say to that? In a place where I have often preached the word, where I've gone in and out, and suddenly you hear things that you can hardly grasp. And yet I know in my heart that it will all pass, that all things that are not of God, and listen to what I say, that all things that are not of God and will not stand their ground before God will have come to an end among the people of God before the return of Jesus Christ. The day is coming when all things that are not of God will be put to shame and come to an end. At the moment, we have to wait and see. And on the outside, you could actually, and sometimes even on the inside, jump out of your skin and think, "Huh, how is that humanly possible?" And yet, something is so deeply rooted in our hearts. And it says, "It's all just passing. It is all just a temporary phenomenon. We are waiting for what God will do." And I tell you, we are not waiting in vain. I renounce everything that people say or do, and how they twist Brother Branham's statements so that they almost break. You can hear the snapping on all sides. That's not what we are here for. We are here to believe God fully and completely, to trust Him, and to ask ourselves the question, as we have read, who will stand on the holy mount and be a guest with God. People who persevered to the end. And they were the heirs, the rightful heirs. What did a Ishmael inherit? He received a few gifts and moved out. And Isaac inherited everything because he was the son of promise. I just read a word earlier while I was sitting up here. Paul writes to the Philippians, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. The others preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. I am far from comparing myself to Paul, the only one who had the courage, and I personally don't think the most of this statement. But this brother Jackson, who went home, he was the man who in front of hundreds of people, when all the swords were unsheathed and pointed at one, he went forward and said, I confess before God and man what I believe. Namely that Brother Frank came to us as an apostle and sent from God. I was startled. I thought, gosh, maybe someone can think that, but certainly not say it. I believe there were apostles who were called directly by the Lord, and that was it. But when I read this word here, that Paul addressed to certain laborers in the kingdom of God, that they preach Christ out of jealousy and envy. And then he says, some do it out of love, because they know that I was appointed for the defense of the gospel. All those who were called of God at that time to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ agreed with Paul and with what he taught. And the same love of God in him was in them. And they stood on the same foundation, working together in the love of God. All the others who had their own agendas did indeed preach Christ, but they did so out of envy and out of contentiousness. And as it says here, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Do you know that this actually happens? It is still happening today. Can you believe it? Do you know that? Who doesn't know that? Who doesn't know that? It is still happening today. Christ is proclaimed. The message and the messenger are emphasized and stressed. But with what intention? With what aim? For what purpose? That is the big question. And so the thought comes to mind that not too much has changed after all. And when it was sung, what difference does it make what people say, that we are so poor and much more. If we have the inheritance in heaven, then we are more than a millionaire. Then my eyes immediately fell on the next chapter in Philippians. In the second chapter, it says of our Lord in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name that has been so dishonored, the name that has been so trampled on and blasphemed, has been so highly exalted, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is the Lord. And here I actually think of the last chapter in the letter to the Hebrews, that we are to go out before the camp and bear the reproach of Christ. It's here in Hebrews. I'm thinking of Hebrews 13 from verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We heard earlier that Abraham sought the city whose builder and maker is God, which has firm foundations that cannot be shaken. And here we are talking about the same city. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. How could we now go to Revelation 21, where John was told, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he was shown the new Jerusalem, the holy city. Whether Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, whether prophets or apostles, whether the elect from the Old or New Testament, all had the same longing to leave this earth and be with the Lord. And they knew and were certain that God had made provision for them, and that they would not be taken somewhere in a vacuum, but would have a place prepared by God. Beloved, the believer has certainty. I spoke to a Jewish leader in the past few days, and he said to me, to my astonishment, he always addressed me formally, and then also Brother Frank. He said, Brother Frank, I only believe in this life. And that shocked me so much. I said, listen, brother so-and-so, then I'm a better Jew than you are, because I believe what your prophets have said. And I told him a few things. And of course, he looked at me, and I looked at him. But it was a nice conversation. And he said to me, "You know, Brother Frank, I would like to have more and deeper discussions with you." I said, "Listen, you can't argue with me. You can only talk to me in faith about God's Word." And that's just the way it is. What should we discuss? Discuss God's Word? About politics, yes. But we don't have time for that. And beloved, it is simply something wonderful when you know, really know, that you have been pardoned by God. Really know that you have been born into the kingdom of God. Really knowing to have been recognized by God and to have recognized Him, to be born of God, to hear the word of truth, to accept and believe it, and then to wait in patience until God is pleased to fulfill His word and His promises. This is something very precious that God has given us in this time. Do not forget it. James admonished us and said, "Wait until the coming of the Lord, and be patient, just as the farmer is patient, until the field has received the early and latter rain." What good is it if we run out of patience before the latter rain has fallen? I dare to say today, and I could say this with a trumpet voice, that all those who are waiting for a different message have not even recognized the message sent by God. And that all those who want a different messenger are pushing aside the messenger whom God has sent without being aware of it. But as I said, it is all up to God, and He will surely bring it to pass. Let us pray in faith and thank God. Even if we have to wait like Abraham, we are not waiting in vain. We are waiting for the fulfillment of what God has promised. And if people today say, "Huh, you have nothing," they may be right. They could just as easily have said to Abraham, "Abraham, you've been telling us this for a long time. Where are the things you've been talking about? You say God gave you the promise. You say He spoke to you. Haven't you been bearing witness all these years? What are you saying now?" He would certainly have said, "The same thing I told you 20 years ago, I'm telling you today. God is faithful. He will keep His word and fulfill His promise." And Sarah, of course, already quite rattled, wasn't she? But God made it seem and become so impossible that a great miracle was necessary to fulfill the promise. What do we say to that? As I mentioned earlier, could not God have arranged it so nicely? When Abraham and Sarah were young, in the prime of their lives, and then an Isaac had come, everyone would have rejoiced. Where would the faith have been then? Where the testing? Where the perseverance? What would we have known about God's promise and the distance that lies between it and its fulfillment? Abraham is the greatest lesson with his entire life that God can give to every believer. And it's not written in any scripture that Isaiah is our father, or Jeremiah, or Ezekiel, but Abraham has become your father. What is it? He held on where there was no hope, and did not stagger by unbelief. He looked on the invisible as if he saw him, and everything else that was in contrast to that, he declared it as not existing. That is faith. And now we can test ourselves to see if we have faith. It is easy to believe that if the promise comes today and is fulfilled tomorrow, then everyone can believe. But to persevere in this time, and all of you together may find it as difficult as it is for me alone. And yet, there is a deep calm and a blessed certainty in my heart. I know who we all believe in. I know who has spoken to us. And I know that it is God's message and God's revealed word, God's last words for His people or addressed to His people in this time. Brothers and sisters, let us be courageous, even if we don't feel like it. You all know what I mean. We are not among those who leap and shout, but we are among those who carry noble seed in their hearts and who can believe that God is true and will honor and fulfill His word. In this faith, we want to come to the Lord and tell Him everything. We also want to lay before Him this weekend all our brothers and all our sisters who are so dear to us. If we could help them or ourselves, we would do both. But we know the one who can help us and them, who can help all His people. And far be it from us that we want to be judges. On the contrary, we feel so deeply that we want to help everyone and wish for all to stand their ground before God when our Lord returns to take His own home. But this requires that we remain in His word and that His word remains in us. And until the end, we will proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ out of love, not out of bossiness, not out of jealousy or for the sake of envy, but so that people may be saved, delivered, and healed by grace. Let us now stand up and pray together. Heavenly Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, You are our God. You are the same. You are the I Am. Before Abraham was, You were. Lord, I thank You that through him You gave an example to all believers. To him You gave the promise. In him You fulfilled it. Then he had to lay the fulfilled promise on the altar of sacrifice in the form of the Son. You called out to him, Abraham, Abraham. You showed him the ram that was caught in the thicket, which was offered as a substitute. My God, in Christ, the Son, You have given the promises. In Him they are yes and amen. In Him they are given, and in Him they are fulfilled. you sacrificed him on the cross of Calvary, on the holy altar of sacrifice of Almighty God. Lord, through him we were crucified with him, died with him, and rose with him to a new life, to a divine life, and are heirs according to the promise, as Isaac was with Abraham. Your plan of salvation is glorious. Your thoughts deep and wide and broad and high, all in all. Lord, wherever we open your word, you speak to us more as we read. We read a sentence, and you could speak to us for hours with a sentence and deepen the many thoughts of your plan of salvation. Lord our God, we find ourselves in a time of waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, and the man-child will be born. The dragon wants to devour him, but he cannot. He will be caught up to God and to his throne. My God, we look up to you and thank you for the precious seed of your word that you have placed within us. Lord, my God, I have one request. May all those whom you have chosen before the foundation of the world and who have heard the pure prophetic word in this time shortly be freed from all error by a divine confirmation, purified and sanctified in the truth, and prepared for the imminent coming of the Lord. Faithful Savior, we lay before you the prayer requests. You know our brothers, and you know them, Lord. All those who have written, those who have called, those who have made it known. Lord, their concerns are our concerns. Their needs are our needs. They remember us, and we remember them. Faithful God, thank you that all those whom you have loved, they have your divine love. They love you and each other. O God, love never ceases. Prophecy, knowledge, everything will end, but divine love never ends because it never began. Thank you that your people were loved with your love before the foundation of the world was laid, Lord, and this divine love will bind us together for all eternity and will be in us, with us, and among us for all eternity. Praised and glorified be your wonderful name. Lord, together we also lay the weekend before you. My God, we know what is going on, and perhaps not everything, but we have not yet seen or heard the half of what you are doing. I thank you, O God, that you reward faithfulness in the end and send the latter rain and give growth overnight. I thank you for this and praise your name. Also all our beloved brothers and sisters who are torn to and fro, Lord, who have lost their footing, O God, far be it to judge. On the contrary, we bow under all guilt and ask you to help us to erect your altar, your cross, so that all enmity and discord may be swallowed up, so that reconciliation and forgiveness may flow from you, the crucified one, to all those who have been crucified with you. Hallelujah. Lord, in faith, we see not only darkness, as at the crucifixion, and not only storms blowing by, and an earthquake, and rocks shattering. We see the glorious Easter morning, Lord, and when we say, who will remove the stone? My God, at your hour we will come, and the stone will be gone, and we will no longer seek the living among the dead, but instead we will see him, the risen one, and cry out, Rabboni, dear Master, our Lord and God, blessed be your name. You will reveal your resurrection power in all those who are to be transformed. Blessed and praised be your name. Bless the weekend too. Bless us. Give us the right attitude towards you, towards your word, towards each other. Lord, lead conversations, lead the preaching, lead the service. Take me, take my brothers, take Brother Rus, Brother Schmidt, take us all here, especially in this place, under your control, under the leadership of your Spirit. Create a heavenly, a divine atmosphere in which you and we feel comfortable, in which you can unfold and talk to us as a friend talks to his friends. You called Abraham your friend, and you say, I no longer call you servants, but friends. Hallelujah. Praise and glory. Lord, our hearts may rejoice, believing in God, our Savior, who looks graciously on his people, who sees the lowliness and makes the promises come to pass. Hallelujah. Praise and honor to you. We place this site, and especially the platform, anew under the covering of your blood. We rededicate this site to you. We consecrate ourselves anew. Lord, visit us again as you did before. Take away the middle wall of partition, all that divides. In you we have reconciliation through your blood, free access to the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Praise and glory. Hallelujah. Bless all your people. Bless us here too, and our petitions that we bring to you, Lord, my God. We don't just want to have prayed for everyone else. Remember us too, our homes, our families, our children, our relatives, our neighbors. My God, as David said, I have become the scorn of my neighbors. the apple of discord among my friends. Lord my God, what shall we say today? O Savior, take us, for it is written, He is set for many to fall and for many to rise in Israel. Those who were to fall have fallen. Those who were to rise have risen. My God, who are we? Who can fathom your word? Who can understand your plan of salvation? So deep and so high, and yet we confess, marvelous are your ways, Lord God Almighty, who you were and who you are and who you are to come. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread always, today and forever, and deliver us from the evil one, Lord, for in truth thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.